everybody. Welcome to episode 7 of Spill the OT podcast. I can't believe that this is episode 7. This has gone by really quickly. And I want to thank everybody who's been emailing me. I really appreciate your emails. I read every single one of them, even though it's just a hand few so far. But I just love receiving them and knowing that there are people actually listening to this podcast. So thank you so much. And before we dive too deeply into this episode, I just want to kind of preface it with this interview was with a PT assistant who works in a skilled nursing facility, and it doesn't really paint a glamorous picture of SNFs. SNF is short for skilled nursing facility, if you're unfamiliar. But I myself have worked in skilled nursing facilities, and I will say that in general, they're kind of the same, but there are better SNFs than others. So she hasn't had very good experiences. The biggest issue that I have with working in skilled nursing facilities is the productivity standards, and she really has experienced a lot of the similar issues that I have, where basically you're told that you need to maintain a certain productivity. Usually it's pretty high, so like 85 to 90% productivity throughout your day. And in order to reach that, you really have to cut your hours back, or you have to pick up patients who maybe are med Bs and are not appropriate for therapy. It all depends on your facility. And again, I just want to say that these are just like my experience. I'm only speaking for myself, and the woman I interview is only speaking for herself. We are not trying to say that a specific field is better than another. I just want everybody to have information about different experiences. So I'm very aware that there are people who have been in this field for 20, 30, 40 years, and some of which have worked in SNFs their entire career and absolutely love it. So this is not intended to make you shy away from a specific area. We desperately need to have therapists in skilled nursing facilities. What you therapists out there doing is excellent work, and we really need good, hardworking therapists to be out in the field. Personally, I just felt like I got burned out really quickly doing that field. But with that being said, there are some pros. At least for myself, I found that working in a SNF paid better. So I was able to help pay off my student loans really quickly by working in a SNF. I felt like I got to see a pretty good range of people. Most of the patients were older adults, but I saw a lot of different diagnoses. So it's kind of like a step down from inpatient rehab. So it's not quite as intense, but you still do get to see different diagnoses. Depending where you are, you might also be able to pick up some Med B patients. In general, Med A are the patients that are there for a short stay. Maybe they broke their hip and they left the hospital, and this is the next step to home, is they'll come for therapy for, say, 3 or 4 weeks at a subacute rehab, which is a piece of the SNF. And then there's also usually a long-term care, and there you might pick up somebody who might be Med B. And I personally got to see some patients and help them fit for different wheelchairs, which I thought was really cool. I did that as a relatively new grad. We had vendor come in and I was able to work with them. So that was a really cool experience. And basically, I just want to say that I'm not trying to bash on skilled nursing facilities. There's a lot of good that can come from them. Personally, I will never work in one again. And when we jump into the interview with Anka, she's going to be pretty blunt about why she's not having a great experience as well. And I'll vouch that my experiences were very similar to hers. So I'll just let that little nugget marinate in your minds for a few minutes, and I'll hop into our OT wins and OT fails for this week. And I am so excited that one of you actually wrote in, so thank you. Alyssa wrote, "I had a stroke patient with trace muscle in her right upper extremity and couldn't even sit upright in a chair. This patient was with me for 9 weeks and was able to walk out of the building on her last day last week. She was able to grossly grasp a hair comb on the last day and brush her hair. She worked so hard, and I'm so proud of her." That is like the reason we all went into this field, right? Like just to know that what you're doing actually matters and that you were the one that was able to help them get their independence back. That to me is what therapy is all about. If that could just be what consumes most of our day, I'd be like, oh, it would just be so good. So congratulations. That is a serious win. And, you know, 9 weeks is a really long time to get to know somebody. So I know that you have changed that person's life for the best. So good for you. Very proud of you, Alyssa. I wish I had a win like that for the week, but mine was kind of less eventful. And for OT fails, you guys kind of left me hanging here. I did not get any OT fails, so maybe you guys are just so awesome you don't have any fails, which would be cool. But I have tons, so let me think. One fail that I had that was kind of entertaining. All right, let me think. It's a bathroom story. And one time I was helping a lady get dressed and her roommate was in the bathroom. So we were getting washed and dressed at the chair on the side of her bed. So we had the basin and she was done with her upper body and we were getting to the lower body. And she took her pants off and then just started pooping. And there was literally nothing to catch it with. So I ended up catching the poo with my gloved hands. And the roommate was in the bathroom. So I just had to throw the poo in the trash barrel. And I would say that was probably my most traumatic poop story. Although I'm sure I can think of like 50 or so other similar ones. If you're an OT who's ever worked in basically any medical setting, you'll be able to relate, I'm sure. But we'll just say that that's my OT fail for the week. But to be honest, this happened probably like 5 years ago. It's just the first one that I could think of in the spot. Okay. Hey everybody, I am so genuinely excited to tell you about MedBridge. So MedBridge is a continuing ed site and they have tons of continuing ed courses all available online. You can stream them at your own pace. They also have home exercise plans, which are incredible. You can literally build your own plan with pictures that can perfectly suit whatever client you're working for. It's honestly so awesome. And you get unlimited CEUs. And these CEU courses are just really intriguing and exciting. Like I've done continuing ed online in the past, and these ones that they select are just very much in line with what I find interesting, and I feel like you might find them interesting as well. So, are you struggling with finding the resources for your time for CEUs? With almost 2,000 accredited evidence-based streaming courses, live CEU webinars, MedBridge is your all-in-one solution. And actually, if you use my code, it's spill the OT, capital S, capital T, capital OT. So spill the OT, one word, capital S, capital T, capital OT. You can get $175 off of your year-long subscription, which is awesome. That's like significant amount of money off. So if you are interested, please go check it out. Again, use the code spill the OT, capital S, capital T, capital OT, all one word. All right. I really hope that you go check it out. Enjoy. Okay. So the time has come. Let's get Anka on the line and she will talk to us about her experiences as a PT assistant in a skilled nursing facility. All right, here we go.
I'm a PTA and also a massage therapist. Prior to this, I was a cafe manager at Barnes & Noble and different places. I became a PTA in 2007. In 2004, 2003, I should say, I had an injury where I fell and fractured some stuff. And I went through physical therapy and had awesome therapists that helped me rehab. I learned a lot more than just normal therapy. So I chose to go that path thinking that I could make a difference with people. help them get back to their normal function and different things like that. So I went back to school, got my PTA degree and set for the boards and passed my career. Well, to be honest with you, if I had a chance to do it all over again, I don't think I would do it. I've helped a lot of people. I've met a vast majority of people with different, you know, psych issues, diagnosis, everything like that. But I think if you're not careful, you can get kind of pigeonholed into a certain setting. So I have been trying very hard to get out of the skilled nursing facility. That seems to be where I'm at. I don't mind. I mean, I love helping people, but I've had to realize that therapy that you're taught and stuff doesn't always happen in the nursing home. There's a lot of times where you become a CNA. It's hard. It's very draining for me because I want people to get better, to be as happy as they can be being in the nursing home.
That's interesting because as an OT, I feel like definitely I'm a CNA in a nursing home. So it's interesting that you're feeling that way as a PT.
Yes. Yeah. And the biggest thing, I try not to do it as much anymore, but you know, if I have somebody that they say, oh, I went to the bathroom, all right, you know, I accidentally went to the bathroom. And I, before, would take them back to the nurse's station and I'd let everybody know. And then the problem was an hour later, they were still sitting there wet. And so my compassion and my frustration, like, oh my gosh, like how hard is it? So then I just do it. So yeah, I have probably taken people and cleaned up people more times than I care to count. In fact, recently at the current place that I'm at, it's more of a psych geriatric place. And there was one time a patient, the bed was a mess because he had bowel issues. And I told the CNAs in the morning, you know, could you change his sheets and his bedspread? And they hadn't by the afternoon. And it frustrated me. And I just did it. I stripped everything off. And I was just like, all right, I'm done. I mean, you're probably helping people by, you know, talking to them because a lot of people don't come visit and whatever, but it's not a place that I enjoy. Like,
it's a catch 22 because we need people like you who are compassionate and will help somebody and not just leave them at the nursing station for an hour. So we need people like you in the setting, but it's not therapy. Actually, I did most of my beginning years were in skilled nursing facilities and I have left and it is better, I think, in other settings. So I do think that there's hope if you don't want to totally give up on your degree. But
no, I keep trying. But no, I agree. In the nursing home, it's even the nurses. It's funny because I've did travel and stuff for a while and you get to know the nurses. And I do not feel bad if I go right up to the nurse and say, this patient is, you know, turning blue, right? And then they may say, well, I was just in there. And I've gotten to the point now after, I guess, almost over 10 years, that I just go, no, you need to come with me now, right? So, but I know that if I were to get into outpatient or even home health, I would probably feel so much better about so much because I feel that the SNF, you have a whole other set of issues besides the nursing home itself. So
is there anything that's holding you in a SNF?
I have no idea because I've been sending out my resume to hospitals and different places. So no. And the funny thing is that if you looked up the word gullible with nursing homes, that's me because they're like this last position I'm at or this current position, you know, they said, yes, it's 40 hours a week. You know, there's overtime available. And you're like, oh, okay. And so my biggest issue with nursing homes is that there's never been a 40-hour week.
Oh, can you speak on that a little bit more? That's interesting.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, well, because my current position is 90% productivity. And I have not had a full 8-hour day there. So I should be getting over 32 hours a week. And like, for example, this week, according to the schedule, and Minnesota has kind of different rules as far as six visits and different things. I'm only averaging less than 5 hours. So I hope to get 20 hours by the end of the week. And so next week it may be different. And so, and you can't stay, you know, you get in trouble if you don't have the productivity close to 90. So the stress of financial stress of the job is probably what's the worst thing for me, because I'm single and I have no kids. I have a dog, but it's just very hard because you're like, this is my job. I went to school for this and I'm only getting 4 hours a day.
That's very stressful. And then you don't know what days you're going to have a shortened day. So right. It's not like you can plan to have a second job.
Right. Which I do have a PRN job that I'm getting more hours during the holidays. And I kind of tweak it. And so I always feel bad because I'm like, well, I can do 3 today. But then all of a sudden the schedule at the other job is like, I have 4. I'm like, well, I could have probably done 6 or something. So it is hard. And then the paychecks are not consistent. So it's hard to figure out what you can do and what you can't. So it's a terrible thing, I think, because I know. And then also my company that I'm currently with, they cut out holiday pay. So you don't even get any benefit for working on holidays.
And so. I know that there's a rule, but I'm not totally familiar. You have to see people 5 days within a 7-day window. Is that accurate?
Right. Right. Okay. Yep. So then you either have to work a Saturday or Sunday before. And I'm doing that just because I need the hours and stuff. So, that's probably the most frustrating part, and why, if I can, I would love to leave the PTA world, because especially SNF, what's the benefit for me? You know, I mean, there is a benefit. I mean, I go and I help these people and, you know, encourage them to get better. And then they, you know, give you hugs and whatever, but that's not enough to support you.
The inconsistency piece is really challenging, just because you cannot coordinate your life. I mean, even just like planning a doctor's appointment, like sometimes it's great to have a 5-hour day because you can go to the dentist, but if you can't even know your schedule ahead of time to plan that, what do you do? And you don't need to go to the dentist every day.
Right. Yeah. So even recently the PT that I usually have, she was gone. And they needed to have some research done, and the company had no PTs available to come and do these research. And so I ended up, I had good hours for 1 week because the PT was gone. And then last week my hours shrunk because I couldn't see these people without the research and the 6 visits and different things. So, it is hard. You know, even if I try to do something in the massage therapy world, that's challenging because they want somebody during the day. And then I'm like, well, I don't know if I can swing that with the nursing home.
Can you speak to what your schedule looks like during a day, during a typical day?
Gosh, I don't know. So I go in between 8 and 9, and I will start off, today I think I had like 7 patients on my caseload, but 2 of them I couldn't see because I need a 6 visit from a PT. And I saw the other patients, and since it's in a psych facility, it's harder to plan. Like, I'm going to see this person from 9 to 10 or whatever. So you kind of get who you can. And it's a lot of going back and forth. I do charge for all the time that I talk to the patient, or if I'm with the patient and I'm talking to the nurse or the other staff, try to get it done. I rarely take a lunch because I don't have enough hours to really take a lunch. And if I do, then I'm doing documentation. Today I was done and out by 2 o'clock. But then the PRN job that I have is at an actual SNF TCU. And so those patients may be scheduled for 75 minutes, and you can actually get the 75 minutes, right? You're actually doing therapy. Here, you're either, you know, re-educating them on something, trying to convince them why they need therapy, going through their goals. Sometimes, you know, talking to the nurse saying, hey, what's going on with this patient today? Because there's a lot of behaviors. So I know I work with Dakota, and this is her first job. And I told her, I said, you know, if you can make it through this job, everything else will be a piece of cake. Because it's really, you know. but then like the PRN job, then when I go, I get my schedule. That's pretty set in stone. So I can go to that patient. They're ready to work because they're going to be going home. You can do stairs. You can do all the different things and then get it done. And then that productivity for the PRN is only 85%.
Okay. Can you notice a difference between the 5%?
I can. You don't feel as rushed. So at the 90%, you're like, I think one time I didn't hardly go to the bathroom and I hardly drank any water and I got it done. And I was like, I can't do this every time, because that's like,
I don't know how anyone could actually meet 90% productivity. I physically don't know how people could do that.
Right. It is draining and it's very hard. And I will be honest, I do not get it all the time. Actually, maybe once a month, but that's because I'm like, maybe I have 3 hours. And so you get in there, you get the 3 hours done so you can go to PRN or whatever. So it's really hard. And so you end up documenting while you're talking to the patient, which I understand that's the deal now. But for me, I'd rather have eye contact and show the patient that I'm actually there. I'm listening. You know, we're working together instead of, you know, you're typing and they're talking and you're like, okay, yeah, you know. So I now take time to go to the bathroom. I'll drink water.
It's sad that that's a luxury right, that you get to go drink water and go to the bathroom.
Yep. Yeah. Really sad. But yeah, like 90% shouldn't even be enough.
It's just unrealistic. And sure, maybe somebody can meet it, you know, once a month, but to put that pressure on somebody takes a toll, I think.
Oh yes. And for a while there, the DOR, she would send text messages in the morning saying, you know, your productivity was, you know, 79 or 80 or something. And it's just like, you know, and then that frustrates you because you're like, are you okay? I'm not even at work yet. And you're texting me before 7 o'clock in the morning saying that my productivity needs to be up.
Yeah. They let you know your productivity from the day before.
She used to. She's not anymore because I think that was irritating everybody. So sometimes we do co-treat because we know if we don't get this patient, it's just not going to happen. And so I think in different buildings, you should look at the clientele.
I know when I worked in the SNF, this was several years ago, we had a similar problem where I was lucky if I got 25 hours a week.
Right.
And I was considered full-time. So in the morning, we'd have our schedule and it might say, you know, it used to say by minute. So it might say like, you know, 300 or something minutes, but right, then he would tell us the exact amount of time we were able to stay in the facility. So she'd say 5 hours, 8 minutes in the facility. And it's like, from the second you walk in the door, you have this countdown before you've even looked at your schedule. You've already got this countdown where you're like, okay, 5 hours and 6 minutes, 5 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And on my phone, I think it might've been on the Facebook page or something. Somebody was talking about a productivity app. So what I try to do is with minutes that are on my schedule, I'll add them up. And yeah, she does that too. It'll be on the, you know, how many minutes you should be in the facility. So I'll put it in the computer when I collect in, and then it gives me a general time of what I need to be clocked out by. And that's at 90% with one. And I will be honest, and there's a lot of self-talk too, because it does get frustrating when you don't get the hours. And there'll be times, I'll be honest on here, that I will be in tears because it's like, you went to school, you did all this training, you do all this stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, so it is heavy.
So can you share how long your schooling was to become a PTA?
Yep. The program itself was 2 years, but I took 3 because I needed to take A&P. Okay. I didn't take that for my bachelor's. So it was a 2-year program.
Did that include a field work?
Yes. Yep. I think there were two weeks and then 2 8-weeks. I do believe. Okay. All year. So the school was.
Oh, okay. So no summers off.
Right. Which is okay.
You could share kind of the salary range that you would say yes to work in the position you're at now. So you don't have to give me your salary, but like what you would take as a salary.
In my current position?
Yes.
In the SNF. Oh gosh, I'm going to aim high. The highest I ever had was 34.
An hour.
Out of all the jobs, that was the highest. And I'm currently in the lowest, so which is $28.50.
Oh,
sorry, I just said it. I mean, it doesn't sound bad, but It's like, I've gone for outpatient job interviews and things, and that's more of an outpatient salary. So yeah, I'll share.
I appreciate that. And I can share with you I'm an OTR, and when I started in SNFs, I haven't been one in a couple of years, but I was making $35 an hour as an OTR. So it's interesting that there's really not that big of a gap.
No. And I, because I think it varied. And the thing was, is that for some of the jobs, if the regional manager, you know, they would come to visit and I'd be like, you know, I'm doing all this extra work. Just off the top of my head, for example, I'm like, I'm taking people to the bathroom, I blah, blah, blah. And I go, it's time, can I get a little extra? And a lot of them then would give you some extra, you know, be like, oh, okay, you know, 50 cents or whatever. And then you ended up getting over 30. But I think in the current place that I'm at, I do not see a raise or anything coming because, I mean, they took away holiday. but it's like, and for what you're doing, you should be expecting a little bit more.
If you were 18 again and could do it all over, what would you go into?
Oh, gosh. I would probably stay with management, business management, with still my youth and family ministry on the side, and then probably art education if I could do it all over again.
If you were to win the lottery tomorrow, money was not a problem whatsoever.
Right.
You could do absolutely anything you wanted. You couldn't fail. What would you do as a career?
Oh, gosh. oh, my gosh. That's awesome question. Can I do a couple different things?
Of course.
I would totally do the massage, Reiki, meditation stuff because I do all that on the side. So I would keep doing that. There was something that I could do that I wouldn't fail. Landscape design.
Cool.
Yeah. Being outside, not figuring out parking lots because I was no good at that, but like designing where plants should go and just creating beautiful space.
All right. And my last question, do you have any advice for somebody who maybe is just starting out as a PTA?
Oh my gosh. Advice for somebody starting out. It's a rewarding career. You know, keep working hard. Try not to get stuck somewhere. So don't take the first opportunity that comes if you don't feel it in your gut like it's right. So if a SNF job comes and they're like, yeah, we're going to pay you, you know, $35 an hour, but it's kind of, you're not feeling the good vibe, you know, make sure you listen to your gut and, you know, and get out there and enjoy and keep helping people.
I know that you said you're starting your business, but it's in the beginning stages. If you'd like to share, please do. If you don't want it, no worries.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's called Mindful Therapies. It's I got my license and stuff in Illinois. It is for massage, and I do different types of massage. And I'm a Reiki level 4 practitioner, so I do Reiki. I've started tuning fork certification to help with that. I work on meditation, visual meditation.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. This has been fun. It's good to talk and to be open and honest about career.
I just want this to be a platform where people can just kind of share like actual experiences. Like you're not the first person, I mean, myself included, who was promised a full-time job and is only getting 20 hours a week. I think that happens to a lot of us,
right.
But we don't realize it's happening and it feels like it's just our unique situation.
Right.
And I think that we should discuss it because a lot of people are doing the same thing.
Yeah. And I keep thinking, you know, that you meet people that are fine with it, but then they're also married, you know, so they have two incomes and, you know, and that's good and everything, but it's kind of like, well, for somebody that's, this is their main gig, it's kind of like, you promised me on the contract. So yeah, that's the one thing about this career that's just mind boggling. Like, cause we go to school, we know things, we can talk with doctors and all these people. And then it's just like, okay, time's up. You got to get off. You got to clock out. It's just like,
yeah.
So All right.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's been fun. Have a good night.
Okay, so I hope that didn't taint you too much about skilled nursing facilities. I just really want to bring light to some realities in this particular setting, mostly because I myself have experienced it and I felt very strongly that my experiences were similar to Anka's as well. So perhaps that we are the minority, you will only know by trying out different settings for yourself. I think that it's good to shadow. So if you're considering, maybe you can ask to shadow a senior therapist or somebody who has worked there for a little bit. And, you know, go for half a day, full day, just to get a pretty good idea of what's actually going on at that facility. Because you'll find out pretty quickly, are those therapists punching in and punching out within 5 hours, even though they're full-time employees, or are they there 10 hours? You know, you want to get an idea of what reality looks like at that different place. Okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox, and please continue to email me. I'd love to hear your OT wins and fails. If you would like to be on the podcast, I would love to have you. Just send me an email at spilltheot@gmail.com. And if you like what you're listening to, please give us, and by us, I mean me, a rating on iTunes. It will help me get noticed by more people who might be searching for a therapy-related podcast, and it'll just bump me up so people can find us, find me more easily. All right, thank you. Talk to you later.